पते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतरणं परमानन्दमाधवं। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीवन। थैंक यू फॉर कमिंग। टुडेज क्लास इज अ कंटिन्यूएशन ऑफ द कोर्स of Bhakti Vaibhava, is part of the curriculum of Bhakti Vaibhava, and we are starting to discuss prayers by Queen Kunti. Yesterday we started the chapter and we read verses from 1 to 16 in which the attack of Ashvatthama to child Parikshit, who was in the womb of his mother Uttara, took place. And the Lord, when Uttara prayed to him for protection, the Lord responded by covering the embryo that was attacked by the weapon of Ashvatthama and protected the child who was going to become the listener of Srimad Bhagavatam, the original listener of the Bhagavatam. So this is what we discussed yesterday. We discussed also about grieving, because before that it was mentioned how the Pandavas were grieving for all the family members who had died in the battle of Kurukshetra. And we discussed some aspects of care for devotees, how we shouldn't undermine the human aspects of the life of devotees, because we are living in this world. We have a body, we have a mind, we have a community, and we need to take care of all those aspects in the service of the Lord. So this we discussed yesterday. Before we move on to today's section, which goes from verses 17 to 21, it is 5 verses, I would like to reflect a little bit more about what do we learn from yesterday's incident, what we read yesterday, when Ashvatthama attacked Parikshit and the Lord responded to the prayers of his mother, Uttara. What do we learn from that? Okay, that Krishna reciprocates with the prayers of his pure devotees. Good, very good. What else? very good point, and this is very much related to the verse written on the board that we will read. When a devotee is sati, is chaste, is totally dependent on the Lord especially reciprocates and takes care of that devotee. The Lord takes care of everyone. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam ekobahunam yobidadati kaman. He takes care of everyone, all the living beings, not only the human beings, but also the animals, the plants, the elephants. They eat so much, but they have food to eat. So the Lord takes care of everyone, but especially takes care of those who have no other shelter, who are completely dependent on Him. And this is actually what we will read and discuss soon in relation to today's verses. Any other points that we learned from yesterday? Any thoughts? Can be anything that's relevant for you. Very good. So protection may come as the Lord wishes to give it. And yesterday, Kripamoya Prabhu raised the point that it seems that he protected Parikshit in the beginning, but what about when he was cursed by the Brahmana boy, by Singhi? How did he protect him? And it was discussed that he was protected in a different way. In that case, the physical protection didn't exactly took place. It was allowed that Parikshit would die due to the curse of the Brahmana boy, but he was protected by the Lord sending Shukadeva Goswami, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam at the last moment, the last week of the king's life. And in this way he could remember Krishna, and he could be free from fear when the snake bird will kill him. So he overcame all the fear, which is very, very prominent at the time of death. We may theologically understand that we are not the body, but if the time of death comes, normally we feel fear. If somebody comes and takes us by the neck, generally we feel fear. If we go to, we don't need to go that far. If we go to the dentist, I feel fear. So I don't know about you, but I do feel some fear. Even if there is anesthesia, I don't want him to put to make it too painful. Put anesthesia with anesthesia, isn't it? So what to speak when we know that we are going to move on, and even if we have faith, but how real is the faith? The faith is tested at the time of death. When we see death coming closer, our faith is tested. Even we have faith on Krishna, but then we may think, okay, what if I got it wrong? Will Krishna be there for me? Is it sure? All those lectures, Bhagavatam, is that real? What if it is not? Those feelings may cross the mind of anyone, even devotees very much dedicated to the service of the Lord. Of course, if they are truly dedicated to the service of the Lord, then they will take more shelter of Krishna, and they will rescue by Krishna. Even Jesus Christ, at some point, at least we read it in the Gospel, I don't know how accurate it is, the present version, but in the Gospel we read that Jesus said, "My Lord, why have you abandoned me?" There was one moment of doubt that crept in at one point. But then, of course, he was so surrendered to the Lord that he prayed for those who were torturing him. And he prayed, "My Lord, please forgive them. They are not aware of what they are doing. They don't know what they do. Don't mind, they are like children. So if a child urinates on you, don't mind, it's a child. If an ignorant person inflicts pain on us, don't mind, they don't know what they are doing." Of course, theologically, that's very easy to speak. If somebody comes and starts doing it to us, that's the test. How much we have faith, how much we have developed in devotional service. I was thinking also, and this is very much related to Bhaktin Hilary's point, that something that we can learn is that anything can happen to anyone. Isn't it? Like the Brahmastra weapon was thrown towards a pure devotee who was in the womb. He was a very special soul. He was no ordinary person. But still, such an attack took place. And the Pandavas, they went through so many calamities, as we will read, we will hear from Queen Kunti in the prayers we will start reading today, and during the next weeks we will be reading. Yes? Very good. So also, anything can happen to anyone, and God, Krishna, can do anything to protect his devotee. He can do the impossible. So what it seems that it is insurmountable, at the last moment, the Lord can do something that will completely turn around the situation. That's the mercy of the Lord and his all-powerful position. So we see from one lila of the Lord, one activity of the Lord, we can learn so many things that we can apply in our lives. All these things we can remember, and we can look at how does this fit me in this moment of my life? How can I use it in real life? Okay, let's move to today's section. These are verses of glorification by Queen Kunti. And we will sing text 17 written on the whiteboard. Brahma tejo vinirmuktair atma jai saha krishnaya. Prayanavi mukam krishnam idamaha pritasati brahmatejo vinirmuktair atma jai saha krishnaya. Prayanavi mukam krishnam idamaha pritasati brahmatejo vinirmuktair atma jai saha krishnaya. Prayanavi mukam krishnam idamaha pritasati. Abhimukham Krishnam Idamaha Pritasati Brahmatejo Vinir Muktair Atmajai Saha Krishnaya Prayanabhimukham Krishnam Idamaha Pritasati. Vaishnavis, Brahmatejo Vinir Muktair Atmajai Saka Krishnaya Prayanabhi Mukham Krishnam. Srila Prabhupada's translation on purport. Thus safe from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons, and Draupadi, addressed Lord Krishna as he started for home. Purport. Kunti is described here as Sati, or chaste, due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. So what does this mean then? If we are in the street and somebody, a thief comes, do we approach the police or not? Because it says the devotee will not take shelter of anybody else. So do we call the police or do we don't call the police? Okay, so we take shelter first of Krishna, but then if Krishna will save us, then... Okay. Okay, so we do it out of duty for the well-being of the citizens. That's what you say. Okay. Other thoughts? You wanted to say something? It will be logical to ask to call the police. I'm just trying to see how to apply this in practical life, because it says a devotee will not go to any demigod or to any other living being when there is danger. He will call out to Krishna. Okay, Mother Bhagavati says first you call out to Krishna, but then you call the police. I'm not convinced. I don't say I don't agree. I'm trying to understand it, how does that work. Maybe some devotees will not call the police. Call out to Krishna and that's it. Okay, some devotees don't go to the police, they take shelter of Krishna and that's it. okay, good. So we use whatever Krishna gives us, but we know that Krishna is ultimately the boss and he's a real protector. And many times they come late because they're afraid. They want to avoid. Yeah. And some countries, I don't know how it is here in Belgium. I know in Spain, when there is certain conflicts, they come late. So don't depend too much on the police. They may be late. The police as agents of Krishna, okay? We could say the same of the demigods, but still devotees here, emphasis is given to the exclusivity of shelter Queen Kunti was taking from Krishna. She was not going to anyone else. She was praying to Krishna. So I don't say we don't call the police. Sometimes I may have called the police also. But I do remember in Spain, in New Brayamandala, there was one crazy fellow named Paco Pacora. Paco Pacora. He had been living in the temple and he started to misbehave. He started to threat that he will burn down the whole farm. You can imagine some fellow comes here, God forbid, but starts threatening, I'm going to burn everything, burn down the castle. It becomes problematic, scary. And the devotees call the police. In Spain we have the Guardia Civil. The Guardia Civil, they used to be in Franco's time, they were a famous body of the police. They were famous, this popular saying was, first they shot, then they ask. If they will see somebody in the night, in the street, after, say, 9:30 or 10 o'clock during Franco's time, with the hair a little bit longer than usual, they will go and, or longer or shorter also. Could be long, could be too short. Like somebody completely shave up, they will go and beat the person and then ask, what are you doing here? They assume he was a thief because not civilized person will be out after certain time. But when we call them, this was later, that was after Franco, the Guardia Civil became softer and then they said, I think they were on holiday that day. It was their annual celebration. And they didn't feel like working. So even though we call him, there is a crazy fellow here who is threatening to burn down our farm. They said, you are many. You take him out. And what the devotee who phoned was reported was, they said, you beat him and throw him into the river. Luckily, the devotees were intelligent enough not to do that. But they did the mistake to try to teach him a lesson and take him by force out of the property. And then the devotees were in trouble for doing that. They were in trouble because they were accused of kidnapping. There was a whole court case. They were convicted. Finally, Krishna protected them. But it was a whole odyssey that took place for taking seriously what the police said. Because later on, when they declared in the court case that the police had said that, the police denied. They said, We cannot say that. We didn't say that. So actually, they should have, from the legal point of view, they should have call, say, okay, if you don't come, I'm going to speak to my lawyer. And they will have come immediately. But the devotees didn't know that. So they tried to take justice by their own hand, and that created problems. And a few devotees were convicted, even if later on forgiven. But the point is that we shouldn't trust too much the police. That's the point when telling this story. That we may call the police, but even if we call the police, sometimes they will not come, they will come late, or if they come, they may not protect us as we were thinking. Although sometimes they do a good job also, so that's the proper thing to do. We should honor the law of the state. Also, Jesus was challenged once. You may remember some of the people who were against him were the Pharisees, who came to him, and they posed a question, a difficult question. And the question was, if everything belongs to God, something like that, should we pay taxes to the Caesar? Everything belongs to God. So why should we pay taxes to the Caesar, to the emperor? And then, remember what Jesus replied? What it was? Yes. Give the Caesar what is due to the Caesar, to the emperor, and give God what is due to God. So we follow the rules of the world, and we may call the police because that's the rule of the world for proper order, but ultimately we depend on God because only God can protect us. As the saying it goes, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. This is a mantra for fear. When we feel fear, we can chant this mantra. Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, who can protect you? Not even the police. Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. And if Krishna wants to protect you, who can kill you? Not even the biggest criminal. The most powerful mafia fellow cannot do anything against you if Krishna wants to protect you. So by remembering this truth, we can become free from fear. This is something, if somebody comes us with a problem of fear, we can tell them to chant this truth, which is actually a mantra. We can tell them the meaning of the mantra, and by chanting that and meditating on that, one can feel protected by Krishna. And the mantra has Krishna's holy name, and therefore is the most powerful. It's a most powerful mantra. Of course, we will tell them to chant Hare Krishna as the supreme mantra, but also we can teach them that instruction quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So let's finish the reading of... Yes. You mean when Prabhupada offered him the watch to the fellow, to the... So you are saying that the Mahabhagavat, sometimes he will just not resist, but will see Krishna and be compassionate to the perpetrator who is attacking him. That's what you are saying. Okay, we can use every opportunity for preaching, that's a good point. What about when Mr. Nair attacked the Juhu project? Did Prabhupada fight? So what would you say then? Yeah, but I'm asking now the question. You are saying every opportunity can be used for preaching and we shouldn't resist. And you have the example of that fellow who became actually his disciple, who was a professional thief. Actually, the story, I don't know how accurate is the narrative, but this is how I think he explains it like that. That happened in India. This devotee is still in Juhu in Mumbai temple. His name is Haridas Prabhu. And he was a professional thief. He was in jail, and then he saw a Back to Godhead magazine, and he saw Prabhupada had a gold watch in the picture. So he decided he wanted to go and see that guru, and steal, when I come out, I'll go and steal the watch from that guru. That was his sport, his challenge. Like recently I was in America and I was told that some devotees, before joining, they were telling me their story, they used to go and pick up fights in the street. That was their pastime. Any of you did that? Not me, I was too scared. Once a child came to me and he told me he wanted to fight me. In the street. I was a child, I was small. And he came and he asked me, "How old are you?" I think he wanted to measure the strength, who was stronger. And I told him I was less than I was, because I confess, I was scared. I didn't want to fight. So I thought if I tell him I'm less, he may not fight me. And by God's mercy, Krishna's mercy, I didn't know Krishna at the time. So I was safe. He was smaller, but he wanted to measure his strength. So sometimes people like to do this, to challenge others to. So the challenge for that thief was, I'm going to steal the watch from that guru. And then he found out where Prabhupada was. He went. And then he was all the time during the lecture, he was watching Prabhupada's watch, watching the watch. And then Prabhupada noticed it, Krishna inspired, we don't know, the Paramahamsa can can see beyond the ordinary. And then Prabhupada said, do you like my watch? Do you like my watch? And took out the watch and gave it to him. And he was shocked. He was totally, he didn't know how to react. And that made him surrender to Prabhupada. He saw this guru is not ordinary person. And he became his disciple. He was cooking in Hyderabad, and Prabhupada called him and gave him initiation. So Prabhupada, he did it out of mercy. But also sometimes Prabhupada, my question was, what about when he fought? Because he did fight. Even if he did pray to Krishna, but he did really fight Mr. Nair in the court. Very, very strongly. Prabhupada was, even disciples were thinking, why Srila Prabhupada is so adamant? Why don't, this is a piece of land where only there are snakes and rats. That was the situation. Why is Prabhupada so adamant? What will you say about that? Okay, so for Krishna, the devotee will fight. So Prabhupada foresaw what it was going to become, and he did it for Krishna. So for Krishna and for the benefit of the people, a devotee will fight, will call the police, will do anything. For himself, the devotee like Sri Nityananda Prabhu may not take any resistance. So that's another way of looking at it. When it's for oneself, the devotee will fully depend on Krishna. When it's for the benefit of others and for the service of God, then he will fight. Knowing, also depending on Krishna, but externally will take action. Because that's the duty of any human being. If there is danger for other people, we should act. We shouldn't remain passive. Okay, good point. So the pure devotee will remember that, will accept the plan of the Lord, ultimately, whatever the Lord sends us. Pandu Prabhu? That was also his word to Krishna. He had promised Krishna he will offer a temple in that place. So he was very determined to fulfill his promise. Therefore he fought, even when his disciples blew it, I mean they canceled the contract and everything legally was lost, but still Prabhupada fought until the end and finally succeeded. Remy? Yes, So we see that the Paramahamsas, the liberated souls, do not defend themselves generally, although it is legitimate to defend the body for Krishna's service, so it will not be against the law, but sometimes they may not defend themselves out of their full dependence on the Lord. But that's not artificial. That's not something intellectual. That's something which is in the heart. They are so much dependent on Krishna that they do not defend themselves. And then the Lord acts when it is real. If it's artificial, then the Lord may not act to let come out the real thing. So we may pretend we are so surrendered, and then the Lord will say, okay, I will show you that you are not as surrendered as you think you are. And then he may test us to make it evident for us that we need to learn, we need to surrender more than we imagine we are doing. Let's read the next verses of the prayers of today, text 18 through 21. Actually, the prayers start here. Srimati Kunti said, please pay attention to what Kunti Devi is saying. I may ask you, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything. Yet you are invisible to all. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of the eluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Prabhupada's purport. Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the supreme truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that he does not show a special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. We see also at the college, in terms of spiritual practice, the ladies are doing better than the men. Not to discriminate the men, but it's happening. If we look at the statistics, the ladies are doing better than the men. So Prabhupada is saying this. And if that doesn't happen in our society, we may need to ask, why is that? Are we protecting, are we treating the women properly, sufficiently well, that they don't come in as big numbers as in other religious places? So that's something to take into account. Kripamaya Prabhu gave statistics, remember, 2 days ago? And he was raising that question, that we may have to reframe our vision of some of Srila Prabhupada's purports. Sometimes we misread them. Like, for example, this verse, we may read it that women are inferior when men are superior. But Prabhupada in the purport is saying that actually not. Actually, if somebody is more innocent, more simple, as women are, or generally are more kind-hearted, then the chances to surrender to the Lord are bigger. And therefore we learn from women devotees like Queen Kunti and the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis of Vrindavan are the most exalted devotees and great ascetics following their footsteps. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was playing the role in the social role as a sannyasi, playing the role of an ascetic, and he was very strict with himself. But he glorified the devotional service of the gopis because they were sati, they were giving everything to Krishna without reservation. And generally, the men are more calculator and don't surrender, too philosophical to surrender. Of course, women can also be calculative sometimes and not surrender, but generally, it's easier for women to not resist surrendering to Krishna, as Srimati Kunti Devi is showing in these prayers. And text 21, and this you may be able to follow, it's a very famous verse and easy to follow. These are Krishna's names, so please repeat after me, even if it is not written. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. So we see how Srimati Kunti Devi is glorifying the Lord. And in Srimati Kunti Devi's prayers, we find all the beautiful elements of divine prayer. Can you think of some elements of prayer found in any of the books of the, for example, the Bhakti Shastri books? Some of you who did Bhakti Shastri may remember. Okay, very good. So in the Ishopanishad, the devotee prays to the Lord asking to remove the obstacles, to see him, to meet with him. So that will be one element of prayer, asking for a blessing, asking for help. What other elements do we find? Surrender, yes. In Nectar of Devotion, three types of prayer are described. Prayers with surrender are there. And one is Samprarthanatmika, which means praying with heartfelt feelings. Pray to the Lord with feelings from the heart. What else? Glorification of the Lord. That's a very important element. Glorification. And actually, Kunti Devi, she doesn't start asking. She starts glorifying the Lord, describing the Lord. What are his opulences, his attributes? Who is Krishna? How she cannot understand Krishna? What else? She sees herself as very fallen. So she prays with humility. This is described in Nectar of Devotion as Dainya Vodika. It's praying to the Lord with surrender, with humility. And she's expressing that, although she's a queen, she's a very, very learned woman, she's a scholar. Such prayers cannot be offered unless she's a scholar. She's expressing in a very scholarly way, as a philosopher. But yet she's saying, the Paramahamsas know you, but I'm a woman. She presents herself as a very innocent and ignorant woman. I'm just a woman. I cannot understand you. So that's actually humility. What else? What other elements we find? It's okay. Good, very good point. So that's an element we see in the Kunti Devi's prayer, acknowledging our insignificance to be able to understand Krishna. This is actually, she's expressing it in today's verses. And then also another element mentioned is Lalasa Mayi. Lalasa Mayi means praying for a state of perfection or being very eager to achieve certain state of perfection. And Kunti Devi in her prayers will find through the next weeks how she's praying this way. She's praying that, let my mind, as the Ganges flows into the sea, let my attraction come to you in a natural way, without any restriction. And Kunti Devi is praying that please send more difficulties. You are leaving this place. She's not praying for material blessings. She's praying that before, when we had difficulties, you were with us. Now that difficulties are gone, you are leaving us. So please send more difficulties so that we can see you. Because by seeing you, we will not see again the repeated cycle of birth and death. So we find these different elements, and I will end by referring to Sasvarupa Maharaja's analysis in his book Vandanam on prayer. Maharaja identifies four elements, which you mentioned, some of them. Glorification is the prominent one, is the main one. When we pray, we should glorify God, not just ask for something, but we glorify. Then, thanksgiving, express gratitude to God for everything He's giving us already. Like Kunti Devi, who we'll see next week, she prays that you have saved us from so many dangers. You have been always there for us. So thanksgiving, gratitude. Then ask forgiveness, or that will be expression of humility. Ask forgiveness or acknowledging our lowly condition. And finally, we may ask for a blessing. As the Prabhupada explains that many times, devotees do not even ask for anything. But if they ask for a blessing, they ask for a blessing of how to serve Krishna better. It's time to stop. Sorry to go long, but we usually wait in the hall for the prasad, so rather use the time here. Yoga Maya. It depends on the relationship of the devotee. So as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, that Srimati Kunti Devi is well aware of Krishna's position. She doesn't think Krishna is my nephew. She's not offering respects to her nephew. Prabhupada says she will not commit the mistake of offering obeisances to her nephew. But actually he offered obeisances to Krishna because he acknowledged that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that case, that's her relationship with Krishna. Other devotees like Mother Yashoda, they have a more intimate relationship with Krishna. More intimate. And they, to the point that Krishna's Yoga Maya makes her forget that Krishna is God. And even she doesn't want to know that Krishna is God. She loves Krishna so much as mother, only mother, nothing else, that she's not interested in the philosophical, the theological position of Krishna as God. But in the case of Kunti Devi, the relation is different. She knows that Krishna is God. Not same level of intimacy. Although still she's a Premi Bhakta, she's a pure devotee of the Lord, a Paramahamsi. She's a completely liberated devotee, an eternal associate of the Lord. But that's her relationship. Yeah, I will not say it is higher. I don't remember having read Srila Prabhupada, and you are welcome to contribute if you remember any precise quotes. But I don't remember any comparison made by Prabhupada that he says that this is higher when the devotee does not ask, that when the devotee asks, Krishna is his sole protector. In both cases, Krishna is prominent. And what I will say is that Mahatma Nastu Mamparta Devim Prakriti Mashrita, that the devotees, they are inspired by the divine energy of Krishna within their heart. Sometimes Krishna will inspire them, those pure devotees, Mahatmas, will inspire them to ask for protection, like Draupadi, she started to call out to Krishna, Ego Vinda, Ego Pal, and she was praying for protection. Please save my honor. But she didn't care about, in her honor was not the prominent thing. The prominent thing was only Krishna. That's one way. And another way will be, like Haridas Thakur, the devotee will inspire to take whatever Krishna sends. He will take it, this is Krishna's mercy. Or he will just chant Hare Krishna, but without thinking of saving the body. He didn't care about the body. He was so absorbed. We could say, oh, he is more advanced because he didn't care about the body. Not necessarily. Can we say that Haridas Thakur was greater than Draupadi? I don't think these type of comparisons are very good. Isn't it? Generally, it's sometimes we find some comparisons, like the gopis are the greatest devotees in terms of devotion, but it's, I will say that these are different expressions of full dependence on Krishna. Last point. You say because he didn't protect himself. You will have to search the quote and send it to the village forum. If you find that quote, you can send it. It's true that Prahlad Maharaj didn't protect himself, and then Krishna protected him. But it was not artificial. He was inspired in this way, to offer everything to Krishna and to take whatever Krishna sent. But we find also Mahabhagavats who prayed to Krishna. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, when there was a fire forest, when Indra attacked Vrindavan, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, they prayed to Krishna, Krishna, you have powerful arms, please save us. You have killed so many demons, please save us from this danger. Only you can save us from this danger. And these were the gopas and the gopis, the most intimate devotees of the Lord. So, on that note, we end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.